Hey, what's going on, everybody? Today I had the honor to chat with bass player vocals Ryan Gulen of the multi-platinum album selling four-time Juno Award winning Canadian rock band The Sheepdogs. In this newest episode, Ryan joined me to talk about how the band first formed, funding first three albums, early years of touring independently, first three sessions that saved the group from their anxieties, navigating through the pandemic, newest album out of sight, and more. And now with that being said, hope you enjoy our conversation with Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, how you doing?
I mean, it's so great to chat with you. Is it crazy to hear back like all those accolades that you guys have been winning and have received over the years, I guess, doing music now?
Well, I mean, it's not like when you, I mean, maybe not everybody, but when we set out to start this band, it just was like friends playing music. So, the many years we've been together and same three that started the band are still in the band doing it. It's like we didn't set out to have a bunch of accolades, but it's pretty wild to sort of start thinking about all the things that we have been able to accomplish when really we're just a bunch of couple buds from Saskatchewan all hanging out playing music.
Absolutely, and I am aware that you guys had, I guess, met each other in high school. How did that work out for you guys, and how did the band actually come together all together, I guess?
Sure. Well, I mean, Ewan and I went to high school together. I actually met Ewan in elementary school, but we didn't weren't really like we went to different schools. But yeah, we all sort of knew each other in high school, and we're friends. But it was in university that we sort of, when we were sort of 19 years old, we decided we wanted to do something different. That, being in Saskatoon at that age, you're kind of at like a point in your life where you're sort of figuring out who you are, or what you want to do, or all those kinds of things. And we were at a point where, you're starting to sort of maybe drift away from your high school friends and starting to kind of figure out what you want to do. I mean, in university, you're sort of like figuring out what you want to do with your life. And in that case, we wanted to like do something different. And so we just decided to get together and play music together. And it all just started out with like literally three friends jamming in a basement for fun. And we kind of did that like every day for like a year almost, and then started writing our own music and started performing shows. And we'd play like at parties and stuff, and eventually playing at bars. And eventually then started recording music, started going on tour, and sort of all builds from there. I mean, that was almost, so next year it'll be 20 years ago. So it's a long time ago.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, with all the history that you guys had together as a band, and knowing all the albums that you released, and obviously the multi-platinum album selling and the four-time Juno Award winning, I guess now that the Junos are coming up here very soon. And you guys had been nominated recently for the newest album that you guys put out of sight. I guess, is it wild to think that not only have you won four times into the Juno Awards, but now that you're nominated again for another album, is it wild to think back now to when you started, and it was like this whole thing because you guys had to make money out of it, to basically keep your, I guess, keep your livelihood alive in a sense. Is it wild to think back to that day of when you guys first started, and now full circle moment, and here it is where you guys are just keeping, I guess, the dream alive and chasing it while still trying to make life affordable for yourselves as well.
Yeah, no, good question. I mean, it is. It's not, I mean, it's funny. In 2007, the Junos were in Saskatoon and we played a show. I don't know, but it was like, a Juno festival show where we played a thing, and there wasn't very many people there, and it always sort of felt like everything that was going on with the Junos was so separate. Like, I don't know if we expected that like some record execs were going to come and see us or whatever, but we very much felt separated. But our whole thing was never like we're in this to win Junos or whatever. Our whole thing was like you said, it was more about our livelihood. It's about like not compromising what we're doing in order to make a living and continue pursuing this, but pursuing it in a way that was sort of honest in our own way. And that was kind of an eye-opening thing because it was sort of this thing where it was like we realized the music industry was never going to come to us. We just had to kind of do our thing and do it honestly. And they would do that. And like you said, like make a living doing it, try to do it in a way where it's profitable. Because touring and making music is very expensive, and not it you know, it takes a while to get it to be profitable. So for us, it was like we continued working jobs until we knew that we could quit our jobs. We'd leave our jobs and go on tour and come back and you know, go into debt and get out of debt and go do it again. And so the funny thing about that is, like, yeah, like you would have talked to me in 2007. We were nominated for, I think, 11 Junos at this point. It seems very strange because now we go to these things, these events all the time. And, you know, obviously we know a lot of the people in the music industry and we're very much involved in that. So it's a very polarizing thing, very different than that, you know, 2007 Saskatoon Junos or 2006, whatever it was. But I mean, I think the biggest thing is we've never really lost sight of that initial sort of feeling. It's like things, accolades and things like that will come, but that it's not more about that. It's more important to us that we make the music that we like to make and then find people that like it. And I think going out on stage and playing to a packed house of people that are singing along to your songs all over the world and stuff like that, like that is more affirmation than winning an award or anything like that.
Absolutely. And I do want to state one point that you just made about, I guess, making life affordable for yourselves, but also the fact that, like, if you, I guess, talk to different artists that are up and coming nowadays, and you ask them questions about, you know, what are you doing this music for? Is it because you want to chase those accolades, or is it because you want to create music that's meaningful these days? And I guess the answers that we get these days is a lot of it is people who just want to, I guess, put their story out there, but also put meaningful stories along with it. But I guess in terms of your music and the Sheepdogs music, it's sort of this feel good music that makes you want to just have a good time. I mean, from all of your hit singles that you guys had and most notably the one that people will know more of is Feeling Good. Honestly, mm-hmm. If you listen to that song, I remember hearing that when I was at a Leaf game. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is such a great song. And I'm like, it's such a, I guess, I don't know how to really describe this, but I guess I do agree with the point where it says it is feel good music because it makes you want to jump up and down and have a good time and bring your friends out for like a hangout thing, right? And it's totally not those things where like you get bored of or you get sad of, but it's kind of like that comfortable thing where you can be like, okay, this is okay music that I can jam out to.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that like there's a time and a place for sad music and there's a time and a place for like emotion and stuff. For us, we like rock and roll music when rock and roll music is sort of fun. I mean, not to say every single one of our songs is 100%, you know, feel good positive, but you know, we like to consider ourselves like a feel good rock and roll band in the sense that we think rock and roll should be fun. We think playing music should be fun. We have a lot of fun doing it. We have a lot of fun performing it and writing it. And so yeah, like for us, we like the theme around, like you said, like having, you just want to get your friends together and hang out, or, you know, whether it's the soundtrack to like a summer barbecue or going on a road trip or, you know, or whatever. I mean, those are the kinds of things that we really love. And so we kind of tend to gravitate towards that. For us, it was like, I think there's, like I said, there's a time and a place for different types of music, but we sort of don't take ourselves too seriously in the sense that we're not necessarily trying to like send a message or change the world or whatever. I think we're just trying to, I think there's also an escape that comes from music. And so part of that escape can be, you know, the ability to sort of forget, leave things at the door and escape. I think when we started this band, it was a time where, you know, we were sort of unsure. Things were sort of up in the air. And throughout our lives, music has always kind of allowed us an escape, whether it's like through, you know, failed relationships or like losing jobs or, you know, all those types of things, which is sort of, when we started the band, like Ewan had just broken up with his longtime girlfriend and I had just lost a job. And it was sort of like a time when, you know, in a lot of ways, like rock and roll music kind of allowed us an escape during that time, but lots of other ways. And I think we've met lots of people over the years that talk about, you know, how our music has meant something to them, where it was like, not so much. I met all sorts of interesting people. I met somebody once that said that like our music helped him get through being in jail. I met somebody once that said like our music helped him get through losing a parent. And you know, you meet these people and it's like, well, you're not necessarily doing something. It's like, prolific in the sense of like lyrically, you know, like a Bob Dylan, or writing a song, an anti-war song that's going to like help stop a war or whatever. It's like, I mean, for us, it's just about like giving people an escape where you can have fun. You can sort of check your real life at the door and do that. And I think there's something to be said about that type of music as well.
Yeah. And I want to also connect on a point that you just made about the whole thing and being unsure. I guess there was a point in time in your careers where it kind of was on a little bit of a, I guess living on the edge, I guess, is the best way to describe it, in terms of like, I guess, putting your livelihoods on the line here. And basically, and I wanted to know if this like resonates with you guys, because I guess you guys talking about being unsure at one point in your careers, was that sort of the moment where your livelihoods were on the line, or was it sort of the, I don't know how to really describe this. Was it moments where you just needed to keep, I guess, things afloat in terms of your families?
Well, I mean, I think the time that you're probably referring to was sort of like right before things really took off in 2011 for us, with like the Rolling Stone competition that we did, and sort of everything that sort of happened after that. And I mean, at a certain point, you just sort of like, we had spent a lot of time traveling across the country, losing money, playing shows to very limited people. For us, it was always really important to like make the music that we liked and not compromise. We'd like tell people, tell us, oh, if you sounded more like this band, you might get on the radio. If you sounded more like this band, you know, sort of like chasing trends. And we didn't really want to do that. It's not what we were interested in. So there was a certain point where it wasn't necessarily like our livelihoods were on the line. It was just more sort of like we didn't necessarily see the path forward. We were sort of like, you can only put so much effort in and kind of like hit a wall. And it was like, do we want to keep doing this? Or do we want to be like, hey, we'll keep doing this, but we're not going to be pursuing it. Like I said, like we were like leaving on tour for a month, and we were leaving our jobs, or in some cases, like quitting our jobs, and then, you know, going back on the road and then coming back and sort of picking up the pieces. And until we see like little incremental pieces of progress, but until we wanted to see more, we wanted to sort of see a path to that, like, you know, like you said, making it into a viable career. And for us, that was not evident at that point. So at a certain point, we were sort of like, well, should we kind of take this more casually and just kind of like continue making music? And maybe we don't go on tour, or maybe we don't try to like chase that dream. So of course, we were very fortunate to sort of have things come together as they did. And we've been, I mean, a huge part of not just that, I mean, that was over a decade ago now, is been being able to continue moving forward, not just letting something like that be like a flash in the pan or a one-hit wonder or whatever, but allowing ourselves to continue to like have a career doing this. That's really important to us. And we didn't want to take for granted the success we had, because we had to work so hard to get there. And so it was like, how do we continue doing this? And we continue to ask ourselves that. I mean, we come from a place where we know this can go away very quickly, and we don't take it for granted. So we're always sort of trying to make the most of it.
Do you still actually ask those questions to yourselves? I wonder.
All the time. Yeah, man. It's like a big thing. I mean, you need to be, nothing is for sure. And I mean, obviously, you can't take this stuff for granted. You have to always continue to push yourself to, you know, move the needle forward. So most bands that take it for granted end up sort of going away. Like they just sort of assume it's going to always be like that. So that's why it's really important to always be available to do whatever you can to kind of move things forward and keep kind of stoking the fire, I guess.
Yeah. And also it's interesting that you say that, because obviously, you know, funding your first three albums and then going early years of touring on your own. Mm-hmm. And if you don't mind me asking this question, because I'm curious about it, in terms of the early years of touring, was that like years where you guys didn't have, I guess, being represented by like a managing label or a publicist label, was that sort of the years where you guys were just independently doing your things without having any representation?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, everything we were doing at that point was all independent. And like you said, funding our own albums. With the case of Learn and Burn, I mean, we recorded that album in a house in Saskatoon by ourselves, because we couldn't afford to go to a studio. It was basically like, let's just figure out how to do this ourselves. I mean, what's wild is that like album went on to sell almost 200,000 copies in Canada, but it was like a record that we made in like a sweaty, hot room of a house over the course of a summer, you know, and that's kind of cool about kind of doing things on your own. But yeah, I mean, we were doing everything on our own, and it was certainly not profitable. We were losing more money than we were making. So we'd have to be creative. We would do things like throw parties in Saskatoon and sell booze and take the profits off the booze and put that back into our bank account to help pay for gas. And, you know, we did like raffle giveaways and things and whatever. We were always like trying to be creative with how we did it to try to make money and then move forward. Cause it certainly wasn't from playing shows. Those would always leave, you know, cost of gas and hotels and whatever would eat up that couple hundred dollars that you made per show for sure.
Yeah. And I guess finding ways to earn that money and to be able to find your own content and to be able to find your own music stuff. I'm curious to know if, you know, in those moments where you guys were trying to find those ways, were you aware of that beforehand? I guess in terms of like finding your own albums and finding different, I guess, avenues to fund those different things that you want to do, I guess, and also into the future now, looking out, because now you've got a new album called Out of Sight. But the question I wanted to pose was, I guess, did you always have that awareness to begin with to be able to find the different ways to fund different things, I guess, in your careers?
We didn't always know that. I mean, I think that, I mean, a lot has changed over the years. I think those early years of being resourceful are important because as time has gone on, I mean, you have to imagine, like, I mean, obviously, like, so many things have changed within the music industry since we started. I mean, whether it's the advent of online streaming versus record sales, you don't sell as many records, touring being so much of a bigger part of how people promote themselves and how you make money within the music industry. I mean, those are, and being ways to make those profitable. I mean, obviously, like, as you know, everything is more expensive now, like kind of post-pandemic, whether it's flying or gas or hotels or, and those are all things that are like budget lines on what we do. So I don't know if we necessarily knew that. I think in our mind, we thought like, oh, once we get to this certain point, it's all just going to be like making the big bucks and sitting back and whatever. But we also came from a place where we had to work very hard to get to where we were. So when, now that we're in the position that we are now, where it's a lot more comfortable and we're able to sort of make, do this full time and, you know, make a living doing this, I think we're still resourceful in the same way. We still come up with creative ways to do the ways, things we do. We're paying attention to how things are done, so we can always be changing with the ever changing industry. And I think also, yeah, being, continuing to be resourceful in the same way with coming up with interesting ways to continue to be relevant and interesting ways to continue to sort of like, you know, keep things interesting for the people who are interested in our band.
Yeah. And I want to read something that you guys had said about, I guess the first three sessions that you guys had, and that you guys were very aware and made this adamant and very clear that it kind of saved you from the moments where you guys were feeling that anxious feelings and the anxious emotions. And you guys said those first sessions saved us from our anxieties. Like, when there's nothing you can do and no one knows what's happening, playing rock music kept us grounded, kept us going. We've developed this ability to gut check one another about what's working, not in the sense, is this song going to be a radio hit? We're not playing that game. But over all these years, we're happy to put our head down and grind. I mean, now that we're talking about, I guess, the airplay side of things, do you still find that importance to make it on the air? And do you ever put the focus on trying to get the airplay as much as you can, in order to, I guess, help also fund yourselves some more to ensure that you can go on a long run here without having to give up and having to go back into that really dark moments that you guys had early on in your careers?
Mm-hmm. Well, that quote is sort of referencing in and around COVID. I mean, during COVID, we kind of, everything got put on hold, and it put us in a position where we didn't know when we were going to be able to get back and do things. So we just sort of like got together and played music. And that did really save us, because it's really hard. I mean, like everybody's waiting for the world to come back to normal. And everything that we do is like being out playing shows to big rooms of people. So it's like that was the last thing that was going to come back. And we saw it took forever for that to come back with everything else. You know, answer your question about radio play. You know, we've been very fortunate in which we've had like a lot of songs that have been on the radio. But it's also one of those things we've learned where it's really tough because radio can change its mind. It's like radio can like something 1 minute. And, you know, we never want to be in a situation where we're chasing just one avenue. And again, like we try to diversify what we do. It's like there's so many different avenues in which your music can be discovered now, whether it's through TikTok or, you know, social media. I mean, TikTok's been a big thing recently, before then Instagram and Facebook and whatever, MySpace back in the day. But also like streaming, there's lots of songs that become popular in streaming that are not like singles that help popularize you with through algorithms and things like that. I think what we're sort of saying in that quote is that the thing with radio is that it's very fickle. And if you put all your energy into like just trying to make a radio hit, it's really hard to make a radio hit. I mean, a lot of radio hits that people make are not intentional. I mean, there's a lot of radio hits that are very intentional when you look at certain types of music. So we definitely have it in mind. And I obviously we love getting played on the radio. It's a great way to like you said, it's revenue, but it also is a great way for people to be aware of you passively or whatever. And it's great support, great way to support the spread of what you're doing. But also if you put all your eggs in one basket and then it doesn't work out, it can be pretty disappointing too. So I wouldn't say that but we're definitely conscious of it. It's not like we're like not thinking about it at all. It's a conversation. Like we'll be like, oh, this sounds like this could be maybe a radio hit, but we're never like 100% sure, because we've had songs that we thought were going to be, you know, maybe not hits that were big popular songs on the radio, and we had other songs we thought were going to be really popular on the radio and maybe just sort of like didn't do as well or didn't get played as much. So it's all, I think the key to this is just not putting all your eggs in one basket, not just being like, we're only going to make radio hits, or, you know, there's certain genres of music like country music and pop music where it's like, it's all about just making that hit song on the radio. Rock music is a little bit different. What we do is a little bit different for sure.
Yeah. And you guys have a unique sound to it. And it's not like, I guess, the typical rock that typical people would hear. It is what we talked about at the beginning, where it's just feel good music and it makes mm-hmm. you want to get out of your seat and make you want to have a good time and just jam around with friends. But I want to talk about something that's so interesting, because nowadays I think people are talking about what is happening in, I guess, the Canadian music landscape perspective on things, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so interesting, you know, listening to interviews that, you know, I've listened to, you know, Deborah Cox was... I listened to Q on CBC and I was listening to her interview, and she was in the days where Celine Dion was in her younger days and she was touring with her and stuff like that. And she left a well-earned paid job to chase this solo career now. And all these years later, you know, she's talking about the music scene in Canada, how it's sort of now changed so much over the years, where nowadays people are like, they know how aware they are in terms of the cultural music that they want to listen to and the cultural music that they want to make these days mm-hmm. too. It's interesting. And for you guys, it's so interesting to read this quote that you guys said. The music scene in Canada is a very close-knit one. You end up just hanging around everyone, whether it's the festivals or events or things like that. You get to know each other and everyone's always trying to build each other up and support each other. It's a very supportive community. I mean, what do you think about the music scene in Canada now? Do you think that there's still a long ways to go in terms of growing music? What is your take on that? I'm curious.
I mean, it's interesting because I think that Canada, listen, some of the biggest artists in the world are Canadian and have been over the years. I mean, you look at people like you said, Celine Dion, Bryan Adams, you look at like bands like Loverboy back in the day, or you look at Justin Bieber, Drake, The Weeknd. I mean, those are literally like three of the biggest artists in the world, and they're all Canadian. I think there's been a greater spotlight put on Canadian music in the last while, and I think there's also up and coming artists that have had like really big moments, whether it's like Leith Ross, for example, who's had a lot of like really great success recently as well, and a lot of notoriety outside of Canada. I think what's interesting about Canada, the Canadian music scene, is that it's very small. I mean, earlier I was talking about the Junos and sort of feeling like the music industry, we didn't really know anybody. I mean, we know most people in the music industry at this point, and it is a very small community. The music scene is a very small community. The internet has made the landscape even smaller because you don't have to just be in a town to communicate with someone. You can text or you can, communicate online or whatever. I think what's interesting is Canada always has this thing where everyone's trying to make it outside of Canada. Even people that have like the most success within Canada are still trying to make that. And I think that is still a big challenge. There is a weird disadvantage to Canadians for whatever reason to try to like have that translate. You look at bands like the Tragically Hip. Tragically Hip could play like a stadium show anywhere in Canada they wanted, but they couldn't play to more than a couple thousand people as soon as they crossed the border. Except for maybe some of the border towns, but and there's lots of cases like that as well. So it's an interesting one. But the funny thing is that like while there's a lot of differences in music, there's a lot of variety in music in Canada, there is sort of a bit of a camaraderie that comes along with that, which is kind of fun. I mean, it's fun where you could be friends with bands that aren't necessarily specific to one scene, but there's just sort of this scene of Canadian artists. And it becomes a funny thing because when you travel internationally, it'll be like you'll be somewhere random where they'll bring up like, oh, do you know this band or do you like this band? Because they're Canadian. And it's pretty fun. It's not just like the ones that you think they would know, like Bieber or Nickelback or Celine Dion or Bryan Adams. It's like, oh, do you know Mother Mother? Or do you know Sam Roberts? Or I really like whatever, like Georgia Harmer, and you're just like, oh wow, like that's so cool that you know that band. So it's like a pretty funny it's a pretty funny world where the fact that it is, considering Canada's such a big country, it's the community is very small and tight-knit for sure.
Yeah, and I guess I find the interest in, I guess, knowing more about the significance that you feel about Canadian roots, because obviously the band is very clear about how, Canada is very important to you guys. Because you guys have basically started your careers here, and basically have stayed at home for your entire careers pretty much. Even though you had to go out for like different like international performances in terms of like TV appearances and whatever, but what I'm saying is, I guess like finding the importance behind you guys, the significance of having your Canadian roots, does that still relate with you guys today?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we still spend a lot of time away from Canada. I mean, last year we've played, I was mentioning we played like over 100 shows, and that was like Europe, US, Australia. We still spend a lot of time outside of Canada, but Canada is still his home. And I think that like there's a lot of people that maybe moved to Nashville or moved to LA or moved to New York or whatever, and I like the idea of that, but I think we all still are very proud Canadians, and we like coming home to the comforts of home and what that means to us. We continue to have like the most success in Canada. Like, while we've had success outside of Canada, it's not, Canada is the country that's embraced us the most and where we sort of play our biggest shows. And so while we continue to always grow outside, we never want to forget and turn our back on Canada, because that's the one part that's always been consistent is the support we have there. So yeah, no, I don't think we're like in that situation where we want to go and move to LA and pretend that we're not from Canada. We're very proud of it. I mean, we wear that very, very obviously on our sleeve, and we just try to continue to push things outside of Canada, but also make that part of what we do too.
For sure. And speaking of success, I want to play a quick song that you guys performed live at Jam in the Van. It is a song featuring off the album, their newest album, Out of Sight. I love this song. It's called Find the Truth, and it's, I guess, like, I don't know how to describe it. It's very, I guess, what we talked about at the beginning, like it's very happy. It's something that puts you in a good mood. It's like the feel good music. Like, we can talk about it all day long about what music that you guys want to create, and you guys are very adamant and clear about what you guys want to make and what your style is, and we hear that through the music that you guys create. And I want to play that quick for people who haven't heard your music before, so then people can hear what you guys have been working on lately. So here is the Sheepdogs and their newer song Find the Truth off their newest album, Out of Sight. Living at the song and a love of dream of mine, back in the time of my youth. Someday you'll leave, baby, so throw me a line. I know you can find the truth, but you never knew it should have been me now. Well, that was the Sheepdogs with their song "Find the Truth" off their newest album, "Out of Sight." I mean, how do you describe that song to new listeners? Is there something that sticks out to you from this album that you guys created recently that you want people to know more about?
I mean, I think a big part of this album, we sort of mentioned earlier, is that like it was sort of born out of the pandemic. You know, being unsure what we want to do, but we didn't want to make an album that was like about the pandemic. We wanted to like look ahead. And I think a lot of what we sort of did with this album was like making music for the future. And the idea that like right now it sucks and we can't do what we want to do, but we want to make songs that we're going to want to play once everything comes back. And so there's a certain lightheartedness about this record that comes with the idea of like making music to enjoy in the future. And so, I mean, that's a big part of it. I mean, there's topics in there that sort of like focus on maybe things that were happening around the time and were maybe a little bit confusing about, you know, being in a pandemic and trying to navigate the emotions and the feelings around that. But no, if anything, it's like we try to make a record that was like a super fun party record for the future, because we knew that once this all ended, we were going to get out there and play a bunch of shows and go travel around, and we wanted music to like be part of that too.
Yeah, it's got to be really thrilling for you guys now, I guess, for everybody now in general, to be able to enjoy live music without having to worry about restrictions and stuff that separate people from celebrating music in general and having a good time. Mm-hmm. It's got to be thrilling, I have to think. I mean, for you guys, I mean, it had to be a difficult time for all musicians in the music business to be able to have to now do things from home and do things differently from what you're used to doing over the years. I mean, from all those albums that you guys have created and up to this newest album, what is next for you guys? What's coming up?
Well, I mean, I think just continue to do what we do. I mean, the plan is to continue making music, continue putting it out, continue touring. I mean, we're just really happy. Like you said, I think the pandemic was hard for everybody. I think everybody had to put certain things on hold or whatnot. So for us, not taking that for granted and continuing to move forward and making music and the way that we want to do it and touring and, excuse me, playing shows and all that kind of stuff. And there's no real sort of like science to it. It's just like continue doing what we're doing. And I think we got a lot of perspective during the pandemic in the sense that it reminded us that, you know, do this while you can and do it well and enjoy what you do, because sometimes things can all just go away, which can happen from external forces that you can't control and can also happen from things you can't control. So just kind of like continuing to move forward with the way that we can too.
For sure. And I have heard that you guys are performing at the Canadian National Exhibition. What can you tell people more about that?
It's the X, man. It's just you know, big outdoor free show at the X. It's a funny one because we just played Toronto at Massey Hall on our tour last fall, and we wanted to do another show as part of this run that we're doing. And so yeah, it's a fun one because it's like a big outdoor free show. You can go eat some weird food items from the X and watch us play and stuff like that. So it'll be good.
Did you ever like eat one of those weird foods at the X growing up?
No. Well, I'm from Saskatchewan, and I was never really a big fan of the X as a kid. I don't really like rides. So it was always that thing where I would go with friends and I'd always just go and eat, but I wouldn't eat weird things. Like back when I was a kid, they didn't have weird things. They just had like junk food. Now they have like whatever, like ketchup and mustard popsicles or whatever, whatever weird things there always is. I've never tried any of that stuff. I have a bit of a weak stomach when it comes to weird things. I just have the regular, I'll have like a poutine or something like that.
Well, I'm on the same boat with you. I mean, I think it's crazy what they put out. I really think so. I'm like in my head, I'm like, are you killing people? Do you know what like you can conjure up in terms of those foods?
Yeah, there's some weird
You
ones.
know, there's some weird ones. One of them was mac and cheese and lemonade. And I was like, nobody puts mac
What
and
is
cheese and
that? What is
lemonade.
that even?
Yeah, like
Yeah, I
mac and
saw
cheese
recently
and
they put out
lemonade.
like mustard Skittles or something like that, which is, I don't know. Yeah, I think they're just running out of things to do, so they're just trying to mix it up. But hey, people can eat that all they want. I'll just stick to the usual things.
Absolutely. I think it's just all for the TikTok trends. But
Yeah.
well, I mean, thank you so much for chatting with me. I had such a blast to be able to explore this newest album with you guys and being able to really share with the new listeners that are unfamiliar with the music to now introduce all your content
That's
to my
great.
listeners as well. But thank you again for being able to just take the time to chat with me today.
Of course, thanks for having me. We'll see you at the X, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, to the listeners who made it this far into the episode, thanks so much for sticking around. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with bass player and vocalist Ryan Gullin of the multi-platinum album selling four-time Juno Award-winning Canadian rock band The Sheepdogs. You can connect with Ryan on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, on TikTok. For more information about the band, visit thesheepdogs.com. You can find me on all social media platforms and on all podcast streaming platforms. I've been your host, Shignik Heltsang. Thanks for tuning into the show. Thank you.